In an empire where Congress knows nothing, the ubiquitous DC think tank is all. And the Israel lobby and their neocon allies must own a dozen. Well, Americans have a lobby in Washington, too. It's called the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. They advocate for us on Capitol Hill. Join CNI to demand an end to the U.S.-sponsored occupation of the Palestinians and an end to our government's destructive empire in the Middle East. That's the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. Hey, ladies, Scott Horton here. If you would like truly youthful, healthy, and healthy-looking skin, there is one very special company you need to visit, Dagny & Lane, at dagnyandlane.com. Dagny & Lane has revolutionized the industry with a full line of products made from organic and all-natural ingredients that penetrate deeply with nutrient-rich ionic minerals and antioxidants for healthy and beautiful skin. That's Dagny & Lane at dagnyandlane.com. And for a limited time, add promo code SCOTT15 at checkout for a 15% discount. Hey folks, Scott Horton here for Veterans for Peace at veteransforpeace.org. I'm not a vet, but if you are, I'd like to ask you to consider joining Veterans for Peace. As you know, in matters of foreign wars, a veteran's voice is given much more weight. Well, Veterans for Peace is making veterans' voices heard in ways and places where they can really make a difference. There are more than 175 chapters of Veterans for Peace in all 50 states, working hard to eliminate nuclear weapons, seek justice for veterans and victims of war, and abolish war as an instrument of American national policy. It's the peace vets versus the chicken hawks. Join up the good fight at veteransforpeace.org. Hey y'all, Scott Horton here. After the show, you should check out one of my sponsors, wallstreetwindow.com. It's a financial blog written by Mike Swanson, a former hedge fund manager who's investing in commodities, mining stocks, and European markets. Mike's site, wallstreetwindow.com, is unique in that he shows people what he's really investing in, updating you when he buys or sells in his main account. Mike's betting his positions are going to go up due to the Federal Reserve printing all that money to finance the deficit. See what happens at wallstreetwindow.com. All right, y'all. So, welcome back to the show. We got Joey King on the line from Veterans for Peace. How are you doing, Joey? Happy New Year.
I'm doing well, sir. Happy New Year to you.
So, what do you guys have planned for 2013 over there at Veterans for Peace, veteransforpeace.org?
Oh, we have lots of stuff. Many, many things. A lot of things just come up in the middle of a year that you're not planning on, and you have to react. I think probably one of the things we're looking into now is the recent announcement by the Pentagon that they're going to deploy troops into Africa in a way that we really haven't seen before. Going to take a normal brigade, not like a special forces unit or anything, and let them train African troops. And I think it's something like 35 countries. So trying a new tactic on us that hadn't really seen before. So I think we have a statement on our website, or should have one later on today, about that. So I don't know how much you've heard about that, but it's kind of an interesting development.
There was a thing in Defense News about a month ago, maybe a little more, about the Dagger Brigade, you know, like you stab somebody in the back with.
Mm-hmm.
I think they said it was just part of the 3rd Infantry Division. And in so many words, we're looking for work. That now that we've been downsized out of Iraq and Afghanistan, we're looking for ways to stay globally engaged. They're picking up on the Democrat newspeak for getting the job here. And they said, here's a place where we could go and collect paychecks and maybe get fancy ribbons for our clothes.
That's exactly right. It is an interesting new tactic, because this type of thing had been, pretty much the domain of the Green Berets since they were founded in the Kennedy administration in the early 1960s. That's always been their bailiwick, has been training in foreign countries, counterinsurgency type operations. Mm-hmm. And, this is an interesting new tactic. And I'm always leery about it when I hear of training. One, because we know what that means, and two, it's never as the Pentagon pitches it, because of the language barrier, for one thing. Now, I know there's a lot of countries in Africa that speak English or French, as a, you know, first or a second language, but it's a really, really complex issue when you start talking about different cultures and different different languages. How does one train them? It becomes a lot more. And once you let them get into that country, whichever country of the 35 it is, it's sort of the nose under the camel's nose under the tent.
Right, because I mean, I guess historically, it's never hard to bribe some third world colonels with weapons. Do what we say, and we'll arm you to the teeth. We'll teach you how to kill all your own people who dare resist. It'll be great.
Well, it has been a little harder in Africa because of the colonial history and a lot of bad taste in people's mouths. When they first came up with the idea of AFRICOM a few years ago, they had a really, really, really difficult time getting a country to host it.
Right.
And Djibouti, which is a former French colony, was the only one that they could get any one country to agree to host it. But I don't think they're really hosting much in Djibouti, as far as I understand.
Yeah, no, the headquarters, I think, is still in Germany, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a friend who is teaching English in Djibouti, and she says she never runs into any American troops at all. So I'm like you. I think that on paper that it might have said that they were going to do something in Djibouti, but in reality, I don't think they've actually done very much.
Well,
for that.
Word is that they have an airbase there, flying drones and F-15s for killing Yemenis and Somalis with.
Mm-hmm. They can probably run a lot of drones out of, you know, just about any place. They don't need a lot of runway or anything like that.
Yeah, there's some islands right around there, too. I forgot the name of them, but right there near the Port of Aden and all that, or Gulf of Aden.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's in that neck of the woods.
All right, yeah, so, yeah, you're right, though. There is a legacy of... Well, colonialism wasn't that long ago, and so neocolonialism is still a pretty hard sell there.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, of course, it doesn't matter what the hell the people of Africa want. I mean, if the people of Raytheon want to sell some drones, they're going to get them sold.
That's a good point. It's a very, very lucrative business. Smedley Butler said in the 1930s, war is a racket. And it's been that way since time immemorial, unfortunately.
Yep. All right. Now, so when it comes to opposing this kind of thing, what is it that you envision Veterans for Peace will be doing? You're going to host conferences? You're going to organize protests at your congressman's office or host a teach-in? Or what is the dang deal here?
Probably one of the key things we'll be doing upcoming is a lot of our chapters will be marching in Martin Luther King Day parades, I'm sure, because that would be a good opportunity to raise awareness with a sympathetic audience. So I think that's sort of our initial game plan on it, besides the statement and, you know, the letter writing campaigns and that kind of thing. So I know a lot of chapters are going to be doing that. And that's something that we can all can support, you know, and a lot of the folks in African American communities or people who would sympathize with folks in African American community would be very amazed to learn how many countries in Africa we will soon be in.
Yeah. Well, and are already bombing, you know, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yes. A lot of that goes on in Yemen. They killed a couple of quote-unquote militants within the last few days in Yemen. Who knows if they really are militants or if they're just a couple of people who happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that. Even officially, you know, foreignpolicy.com has a piece all about the collateral damage in one of these recent drone strikes and the blowback from it.
That's a tough thing for the Pentagon and the CIA and the powers that be to ever factor that into the equation until it's already happened. You know, 9/11 was a blowback from the Afghanistan things in the 80s, and nobody put it together, you know, for 10 or 12 years, and then all of a sudden, oh, well, that's blowback.
We were talking about this on Ernie Hancock's show this morning about how David Gregory on Meet the Press asked Leon Panetta, hey, you know, we keep reading that you kill some innocents in Yemen accidentally trying to get a bad guy, and then you create 10 new enemies, and they all want to join Al-Qaeda now. So is it possible? I mean, can you imagine this is on Meet the Press, finally, after a dozen years of this? Is it possible that our policy is counterproductive? And Leon Panetta said, hey, look, these are the tools we have, and so we have to use them. And that's it. And so if there's a bad guy, yes, we will kill him. Even knowing that it creates 10 new bad guys, we're still going to kill him, and then we'll just kill them too. And even if that creates 100 new bad guys, we'll just kill them too, and then 1,000, and on, you know, up your parabola.
Yeah, it's the old Martin Luther King line about violence only leads to a never-ending upward spiral of violence.
Yep. In fact, when Adam Yauch, the Beastie Boy, died, people were passing around. He was, like, the most activist one of them, I guess. And people were passing around a clip of him in 1998 when Bill Clinton was bombing Sudan and Afghanistan over the embassies. And Adam Yauch was saying, you know what, this is not the right way to handle this. You're just going to, everybody claims retaliation every time they do something. And you can just make it worse and worse and worse. And we got to be the bigger man and stop the violence now. And boy, I wish people had been listening to that. There's some great Ron Paul quotes from 97 and 98 like that, too. We're going to provoke a terrorist attack on our own country now.
Sure, sure. And, you know, back when I joined ROTC in 1980, it was because Iran had taken over our embassy. And no one ever told me until years and years and years later that the CIA, with Norman Schwarzkopf Sr. and Kermit Roosevelt Jr., had basically did a coup d'etat out of our embassy, and that was the blowback for it. I never got that memo till many years later. But the Pentagon and the CIA just have a tough time factoring in the blowback. It's not a good policy, and they just never factor it in for some reason.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's always a constant dilemma, right, whether the bottom line is stupidity or the plan. And, of course, the stupidity works out real well for them. Since World War I, everything that they do is wrong, and it only creates the terrible consequences that become the excuse for their next intervention. And they can chase the war in Iraq to Libya, to Mali, to Nigeria, and loop all the way back down and meet the guys hunting Kony down in Uganda if they want to. You know, they can just keep on going. What's stopping them?
Sure, exactly. Borders mean nothing. You have a drone, you fly it over there and violate another country's sovereignty and, you know, I've read all sorts of different statistics, but there's certainly no matter which statistic you read except the Pentagon, there's a statistic, a significant amount of innocent civilians that get killed in these drone strikes. And I think the Africans probably, you know, if I'm guessing with this AFRICOM thing that we were talking about a couple of minutes ago, I'm suspecting that it won't take much of that to start getting the U.S. run out of a lot of these countries. And, you know, somebody's going to start developing drones and using them on us. Or hacking into that drone and flying our own drones into us or something along those lines. And I don't think anyone's accounting for that. They invented the Gatling gun because they said it was such a terrible weapon that it would end the Civil War. That's what Dr. Gatling did when he invented the Civil War, and it didn't. They just figured out ways around it and then figured out ways around and so forth. So it's just insanity.
Yeah. Well, you know, that is one thing. I think you're really onto something there about the danger of being spread so thin, right? Because it's not really like the British Raj. It is a kind of neo-colonialism where you have these lily pads of military bases all around the world. That's what Donald Rumsfeld called them. And really, they're all very vulnerable, aren't they?
Yes.
You know, I mean, you could really have a couple of bad weeks that result in the empire being pretty well rolled up.
It could definitely roll that part of it up because, you know, people just don't like a drone flying in the sky and out of nowhere, you know, killing their father or their daughter or something. It's just not a because you can't tell, and the Pentagon has never figured this out. Guerrillas started figuring out after World War II that all we have to do is not wear uniforms, and they can't tell us from a from an ordinary civilian. And we've never really been able to deal with that. I mean, I was an infantryman, and in the infantry, we were supposed to identify and kill the enemy. Well, if you can't identify the enemy, I mean, and this goes back to the invention of the bow and arrow or the spear. First thing you have to do is identify the enemy, and if you can't identify the enemy, then you've got a real problem, and those drones just don't do a good job of it. I guess on the positive side, you know, at least it's not a carpet bomb, but it's certainly not a good tactic. It is better than carpet bombing, but it's not much better.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't really know too much about, you know, putting myself in those people's shoes in that circumstance, but I do remember reading about the Americans being bombed by the remote control landmines in Iraq, the homemade landmines, IEDs and EFPs and what have you there. Mm-hmm. And how frustrating it was for them to have nobody to shoot at, to be at war with ghosts, and how a lot of times they end up killing whoever happens to be nearby. Sometimes Lieutenant Colonel Kozlarich orders them to kill whoever happens to be nearby when something like this happens. But that's got to be the most frustrating thing in the whole world. And I can't imagine it's much different when you're talking about being bombed to death by robots all the time, where even if you could shoot one down, there's not even a single pilot risking his life up there. You know, he's hiding 10,000 miles away.
But then that technology finds its way into a hacker or to, you know, Chinese or whomever, and the technology gets away from you fairly quickly. The first one that gets shot down, you know, a lot of that technology can be very easily, you know, in the right hands, compromised. So it's a real issue with that type of thing. And you know, with the IEDs, nowhere in the Pentagon plans were they ever figuring on IEDs. They just weren't. And those MRAPs that they invented, a friend of mine who just recently passed away a couple of months ago, was a full colonel, still on active duty, and he was telling me back in the spring that they had devised a World War I-like grenade to defeat the MRAP because the way you could throw up a grenade with a parachute attached to it, and that would fall into the MRAP and take it out. So, you know, no one's planning on this World War I technology or a television remote being able to detonate a bomb to be able to knock something offline.
Yep. All right, now, I'm sorry, we got to go because Thomas Mountain is coming up next, but and in fact, we're already late. But tell us real quick again about Veterans for Peace and how people can join and what's the website and all that.
Sure, it's www.veteransforpeace.org, and we'd love to have you if you're a veteran, and if you're not a veteran, we do have associate membership, so we'd love to have you either way.
All right, great. Hey, thanks so much, Joey. Talk to you again soon. Happy New Year.
All right, brother. Happy New Year to you. Bye-bye.
Everybody, that's Joey King from the Veterans for Peace. We'll be right back.
So you're a libertarian, and you don't believe the propaganda about government awesomeness you were subjected to in fourth grade. You want real history and economics. Well, learn in your car from professors you can trust with Tom Woods' Liberty Classroom. And if you join through the Liberty Classroom link at scotthorton.org, we'll make a donation to support the Scott Horton Show. Liberty Classroom, the history and economics they didn't teach you.
Hey everybody, Scott Horton here for LibertyStickers.com. If you're like me, then you're right all the time, surrounded by people in desperate need of correction. Well, we can't all have a radio show, but we can all get anti-government propaganda to stick on the back of our trucks. Check out LibertyStickers.com. Categories include anti-war, empire, police state, libertarian, Ron Paul, gun rights, founders quotes, and of course, the stupid election. That's LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck. Ben Franklin said those who are willing to sacrifice essential liberty for a little temporary safety deserve neither. Hi, Scott Horton here for the Bill of Rights Security Edition from SecurityEdition.com. It's a plain card-sized steel Bill of Rights designed to set off the metal detectors anywhere the police state goes, so you can remind those around you of the freedoms we've lost. And for a limited time, get free shipping when you purchase a frequent flyer pack of 5 Bill of Rights Security Edition cards. Play a leading role in the security theater with a Bill of Rights Security Edition from SecurityEdition.com. The Scott Horton Show is brought to you by the Future Freedom Foundation at FFF.org. Join the great Jacob Hornberger and some of the best writers in the libertarian movement like James Bovard, Sheldon Richman, Anthony Gregory, Wendy McElroy, and more for a real individualist take on the most important matters of peace, liberty, and prosperity in our society. That's the Future Freedom Foundation at FFF.org.